shore where the mountains meet the sea, in a clapboard shack by a broken down tree. There's a light in the window, two salty gals inside. I'm not sure if they're witches, but you know that's implied. Got the storytelling, ego swelling, pillow talking, moonlight walking, sea hags.
Welcome to the Sea Hags Podcast. I'm Chris Jeppa.
And I'm Katie Norgan. With us today is our good friend Allison, our first repeat guest.
Yay, welcome back.
Oh Allison. My god, I'm back in the shack.
Back in the shackle again.
We're going to call this Allison Part 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Because I call sequels that all the time.
I think colon back in the shack is a pretty good...
Allison Part 2 Electric Boogaloo colon back in the shack. I'm writing it down.
Colon, bitches beware.
Colon, bitches beware.
But like the empowering kind of bitches, you know.
Beware. This is too long for a file name, but like.
But like.
The empowering.
So big news since you've been here on the podcast, you got bangs.
You got bangs.
Big news for the world.
I'm teasing. I just really like that trope of like, and I think it really came from the Kroll
show. Yeah.
I got bangs.
Oh, good, you know it.
And like, you literally just got them today, and they look very nice.
Thanks.
I saw you last night, and you didn't have them before.
I didn't. And it was very spur of the moment, too. At the last second, they're like,
it's like, okay, bangs.
You gonna get bangs? I'm like, should I? And then it happened. I'm still warming up to them.
Like, oh. I still have some hair drama from like the summer where I got these like really white streaks in the front, and they've started to grow out, and I still hate them.
Oh man!
So like it's taken me a long time. And Katie was like, "Don't worry, you'll just get used to them." And like they
you
make
never
me look kind of old because they look like gray hair streaks in
I
the front.
I always thought they were amazing.
Oh, now I like them.
Well, I'm fucking chopped liver, apparently.
No! It was the collective.
Okay. We need one more further corroboration until it was real.
We should have done this podcast sooner.
We could have fixed this problem months ago.
It's actually totally fine, but what I don't like is when they put streaks in your hair and they paint them on so it looks like stripes, you know? So it's like I've got a few in the front that look...
Conceptually, it's very late 90s.
I know.
Yeah, so like the guy from The Muppets. That was his
I'll
look.
Be there for
yeah.
you. This made me think about The Muppets.
When I was driving down to Portland with our friend Aaron, we definitely had a 90s playlist on, and Mbop came on by Hanson. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this song is actually really perfect.
It's a
perfect
song.
Pop song.
And it's because it's like, if you want to get meta with it, it like really fucks with the genre of like, this is just garbage. But like, with the perfect chord progression, like, I don't think that they were being thoughtful about that at all. But
they were somewhat self-aware about that. Like, I was a
big... You know a lot about Hanson?
Hanson.
Oh, okay.
Which was your Hanson brother?
Zach. I was in love with Zach Hanson when I was 12.
Was he the
and
baby?
We were... doppelgangers of one another. It was so strange.
That feels safe, right?
Like, I'm trying to
like just
exactly
making out
like...
with yourself in the mirror a whole bunch. Like,
as a
Zach,
young girl,
your mouth is so cold.
I'm just trying to
learn how to love myself as a young girl.
It was very good for my confidence. but the song Mbop, like it's just about being pop.
But a moment in time.
And they talk
ephemeral
about that.
Moment.
Exactly.
Yeah, in an Mbop, it's gone.
It's
and
gone.
In an Mbop, it's not there.
But yet they've remained.
And then they repeat that line again.
We could cover that for New Year's.
Oh, man.
They're very established still, Hanson. They have, like, a very dedicated fan base, and they still do well, and all of them have, like, 1,000 children.
Really?
Did
are
you
they,
not know that?
Are they Mormon? They just look like
they're
they would
from
probably
Oklahoma,
be.
Oklahoma.
I think that they're probably came from fundamentalist families, because each of them got married pretty young.
Yeah.
And the middle one has, like, 5 kids. The prettiest one.
Man, imagine being his wife.
Yeah.
Like, I married my childhood crush.
And then I pumped out 5 of his children.
Yeah.
Pop.
Oh, God. Well, yeah, I think they probably live in, like, big manors in, like, the woods of Louisiana or something cool like that.
Very cool.
Something very cool like that.
I know our past guest, Kat,
looking up their kids' names.
Yeah, would know all of this stuff because she really loves Hanson.
Oh,
I think we talked about that's the last time we talked about the Moffats on the podcast is when she was on. We were like, that was a weird thing that happened in Canada, right? Like all of our pop acts, which were very much like, I don't know, the aspartame version of the Americans. Like,
yeah.
Do you remember Cereal Joe?
My sister dated dated a guy from Serial Joe.
Oh my god. My god.
Not the guy from Serial Joe. Though,
not the main not the thing. One I'm not sure which one it was, but...
not the one who'd been in the video for Superman's Dead by the good people of...
Our Lady Peace.
Yeah. I'm like, thank God that you're here, because I can't think of things today for some reason.
Medic and I only just had a coffee like 10 minutes ago.
I'm just Googling like Hanson's kids. This is how well prepared we are for this week's episode.
It's going to come up with the Rick Hanson Foundation.
Oh,
I'm
no.
Sure.
No, that's incredibly useful, Google. Thank you. Isaac, the eldest band member, has 3 children with his wife, Nicole. Everett, 9. It has their ages. Monroe and Nina Odette. Taylor Hanson has 5 little ones with wife Natalie, Ezra, who's 13, Penelope, River, Vigo, and Wilhelmina.
Amazing. I love it.
They have 11 kids between the 3 of them.
And what about Zach?
I didn't have that. Like, it only gave me the first bit, but I was like, that was a lot of information.
No. Zach is saving himself for me still.
Pretty sure they already have kids. He's already married and has children. We've got... Oh my
god! Crushing dreams in real time.
Oh my god! Though look at Taylor Hanson looking so handsome.
Ooh, he looks great,
doesn't he?
Don't look like a girl no more.
Well, yeah, cause he's got that fucking. He looks like Orlando Bloom.
He does.
And we've got the littlest one.
Is he older than us or our age?
We got
the littlest one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Zach Hanson, who is 28 as of the writing of this article, and he is married to a woman named Kate. And they have 3 children named Ira Shepherd, Junia Rose, and George Abraham.
That's so nice. All of their kids' names are really old-timey and sweet, and I love them.
11 kids between the 3 of them. That's so many kids.
That's a lot of Hansons.
That's so rural, many Hansons.
I wonder what they're going to do.
What is the collective like noun of Hansons?
An oom-bop of Hansons.
A gaggle of Hansons.
It would have to be an oom-bop of Hanson.
An oom-bop is not there.
What other songs did they have? That's the only one I remember. Give us the track
list. Well, they had Where's the Love. That was their second single. Mm. And then, they had that really dramatic music video for I Will Come to You.
Oh, I will come to you.
It's like one? Half black and white, but then the Hansons are glowing golden.
No, that's a weird Christ metaphor. Oh, the Hansons.
Subtle, guys. Real subtle.
So, you loved.
Yeah, but the thing Hanson. Is, they. I mean, being children making music, they didn't come out with another album for like 3 years, so.
Probably because they were pubing out so hard.
Yeah. All over the place.
Just pubertying everywhere.
Yeah, so sweaty.
Clammy.
Ew, teenage boys smell so gross.
They don't smell
And
good.
Now they have Axe. It's even worse.
God, we were lucky we missed that.
Yeah.
I have friends who work as teachers or teacher's assistants now, and they're like, it's bad. you thought Drakkar Noir was bad. This is worse because it's cheaper and easier to get. Yeah, most boys don't have like $60 to go buy parfum at fucking Shoppers.
I feel like that could be my role as an auntie to all of my friends that are having kids that are now like my 2 friends that were the first ones to have kids, my friend Rachel, my friend Nicole, their 2 oldest sons are born like a couple days apart. Mm-hmm. And so they're both like gonna start going into that section soon. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, maybe as an auntie, I'll buy you really nice cologne and really nice deodorant.
Just like tell them that if they touch Axe, just tell them they're allergic to Axe.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, sweetie, you're allergic to that stuff, so don't ever use it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't want to die, so I won't do that. That's a good gamble.
If they buy Axe body spray, then they like, they spray it on, then you like sneak into their room at night and you like draw like weird red dots all over them, so it makes it think like they're allergic.
Makeup to make my child think he has a rash. That's fucked.
I want
to
have kids. I'll be a great parent.
I'll be the one, you're like, is this weird if I do this? And I'll be like, yeah, that's really weird. You're like, okay, I'm doing it. Bye. Click. Pretty sure that's your parenting strategy.
I think I'm going to be a little more thoughtful than that.
No, I'm doing it. I'm going to draw a rash on my kid.
I just think...
This is the last fake rash I'm drawing, I swear.
I have a horrible addiction. Oh, no.
I'm on My Strange Addiction.
I can't stop making my children. It's like a weird version of Munchausen.
Munchausen syndrome. By proxy. That's exactly what it is.
But you're actually not making them sick. You're just making them think they're sick.
That's emotional abuse, actually.
Oh, yeah. Don't do it. But also, definitely really don't make your kids sick for real.
Yeah.
Unless they're being real shitty.
No, even then.
Oh, fuck. That's why I shouldn't have them, probably. Mm. So I'm like, well, maybe if they really deserve it.
Oh, God.
Sorry, kid, you have rickets.
What's rickets?
I don't know. A lack of vitamin D, I think.
Is that the same as shingles?
No.
Does it count if the thing that you make them think they have doesn't really exist?
Not as much. It only kind of counts.
That still seems like emotional abuse in a really bad way.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, maybe. You have a weird, unique disease. That's just you that, so being makes you so special. Abnormal.
No, oh, I guess if you frame it that way, that would be such a weird thing to do.
It's just, oh my God.
You just make, in a boxcar.
Make up a lie about your child having some weird disease and you celebrate that as them being like special and inspiring.
I'm pretty sure that is just Munchausen syndrome by proxy. I think that is exactly how it manifests. We just invented abuse.
Let's not ever do that. That's awful.
Yeah, it was a bad
Well, now
bad
that we've
gag.
Told the world about it.
Yeah.
Now we really can't do
now
it.
Now we're going to be scrutinized under a microscope for our parenting styles, as if that is not a thing that happens already to people.
To women.
Yeah. So I had a weird...
How was your week?
Yeah. Oh, God. I'm, like, working full-time, and I only want to talk about all the stuff that happens at work, but I really can't because it's confidential and shit.
Right.
But... There was a person that phoned, and there's, like, a big childcare thing happening, like, a debate around childcare, and we should have universal childcare, and this person was like, I would like to voice my opinion that that is not a good idea because women should stay home and raise children. And I was like,
oh, that's a bad opinion.
How am I supposed to respond?
Sorry, that's my bottle of fizzy water.
It exploded all over you before we started recording.
This is the most carbonated water that's ever existed. So don't. Have universal child care because women should be at home in
because,
the kitchen.
Because she's saying it's, like, emotional abuse to separate the children from the parents. And, like, I know all these people that were in daycare when they were little, and therefore they are so super fucked up and whatever. Oh, well, so it's, like, that's an opinion, but at the same time, like, you know, we want to give the option to parents that could have actually, like, people are spending so much money on their fucking daycare. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's still a good thing, and if parents want to stay home, that's also fine. It's not like anyone's forcing them to not, but this person was just very upset.
Well, what's their plan? Just, like, okay, we'll make sure that, like, A, of course everybody's in a heterosexual relationship, so let's make sure that all the men have good jobs or whatever. Like, well, are you going to just dismantle capitalism to make it not necessary for both parents to work outside the home? It's fucking Vancouver.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and she was an older lady who was very much like, well, I raised my kids on a single income. I was like, that, like,
yeah,
ma'am,
like
that's
years
that meant
ago.
A completely different thing than it does now.
Yeah, that's actually not the reality for a lot of parents in this province. So anyway, I had to go into that. And I'm like, how far can I argue with people? And how, when do I have to draw the line being like, thank you for your opinion, goodbye. She was very mad at me for trying to, like, anyway.
Tell her to fuck off.
Yeah, in a very polite and kind way. Anyway, yeah. I feel like I shouldn't be talking about this, but, like,
yeah.
It was just an interesting thing around, like, childcare, and it just made me have some feelings about raising my own children eventually, where I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, that's really, that's the single thing that makes me not want them the most, is just how much other people have opinions about it, and how much they have to tell you about it, and how strongly they hold those opinions.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, for me, it's just, like, I'm such a hypochondriac myself.
Yes.
If I was responsible for other lives, I would just imagine rashes on my children.
It's like a fairly bad band.
The Imagine Rashes.
It's like Imagine Dragons.
But Imagine Rashes. You just never sleep again because you're like, well, here are all the diseases my child could get and then be sick or die.
And then everybody would tell me that I'm doing it wrong.
Yeah, no matter how good you are at it, they'd be like, oh, you breastfed them past the first year of life? Gross. Oh, you didn't do it? Ah, you don't love your child.
Yeah, that's awful.
I kind of remember being breastfed. Is that weird?
It's a little weird. Yeah. It's not bad. It's kind of weird, though. I mean,
it was delicious. But I really don't know how old I was. Like, when do you start getting memories?
Thanks for the memories.
I'm fucking dying. I'm still laughing over it. It was delicious. Trisha.
One side was better than the other, though. I do remember that.
What? That's really vivid.
Yeah. Oh my god, how old were you when you were not breastfed anymore? Like 8.
That happens sometimes. Sure. For real.
I'm not even making a judgment call. I would be weirded out if I saw an 8-year-old breastfeeding, but I wouldn't be like, you go to jail for that or something. I'd just be kind of like, mm-hmm. I just like push my plate away from me, maybe, but like, it's not even a value judgment. I'm just like, gives me the willies. But...
I couldn't have been older than like 2.
But you knew.
But even then,
you knew one side had the better.
I must have been old enough to talk to like mm-hmm. come.
I like this one.
Yeah.
This one got the good stuff.
Oh, that's the better one.
That's the better booby.
The coconut booby.
Oh my god, this got so weird. So yeah, quickly, I'm really happy.
Get me into talking about this.
It's like, blah, 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 handsome, blah, blah, blah. One of my mom's boobs tasted better than the other one. I was not breastfed.
No?
No, I was formula fed. Women in my family historically have not been able to breastfeed their children, so thank goodness for formula.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would be dead.
Hey, we got it.
Mine did make me a nerd that wears glasses, though.
She used the particular formula.
Yeah, it's like, is this one going to give me a child that's very shovable into lockers? We were talking about that before we got on mic, was like, what would happen if I took over as the general manager of the nerd bar, the Stormcrow? And I would just, like, change all of the names of foods to just be, like, pizza for nerds, salad for dorks. And then when somebody would be, like, oh, I like to order the salad, like, use the full name, please. And then when they go to pay their bill, I shove them into a locker because they're fucking nerds.
So it's a proper nerd bar.
Yeah, well, exactly. Like, they're all going to get wedgies. And it's like, oh, can we play Settlers of Catan? I'd be like, no, get your fucking octagons out of my establishment. I put the board in board games. I don't
excuse
enjoy
me,
things.
Have you showered today? Get out.
Just like a fully immersive experience. Like all the bullying that you remember from with none of the social acceptance that we have today.
It's like, oh, that's a nice Doctor Who t-shirt. It would be a shame if someone were to pull it over your head and then punch you in the stomach.
Yeah. Forget Stranger Things. This is the real retro 80s experience.
Oh my god, you could sell it as like an immersive experience. What was it like being a nerd in the 80s?
So everybody's just like the bullies in that, but none of us pee our pants.
Yeah.
I love Stranger Things. Mm-hmm. Did we ever talk about that on the podcast?
I don't know.
I liked it.
Yeah, now.
That's it. I just thought it was good.
A past guest, Jen, is going to be 11 for Halloween, apparently.
Of course.
Oh, yeah, my friend Corey is. Mm-hmm.
Several of the male comics that I know mm-hmm. who have shaved heads are going as 11 also.
All right.
Alex Excellent. Sparling is going as 11.
Excellent.
Really he looks funny. Fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a good look. It's a good look. What are you doing for Halloween?
Well, I mean, I could always be Elvis again.
But not Elvis.
Do you
Elvis.
Just have, like, a spangly jumpsuit that is
yours? Or Elvis you Elvis.
Own? Yeah, that's sort of my standby because I spent, like, $150 on a glittery jumpsuit, so...
You don't want that to go to waste.
I gotta get my money's worth.
Do you have an Elvis wig, too?
I got the sunglasses, the microphone. I used to have a prop peanut butter and bacon sandwich.
I thought you were going to say something else.
What?
I used to have a prop penis.
Peanut butter and bacon sandwich. That was his favorite food.
I know. I was obsessed with Elvis when I was a child.
Ah.
When you were studying Hanson, I studied Elvis.
Did you really?
I was probably a little younger. Like, between age, I want to say 7 and 10,
Were you mesmerized by his hip-gyrating dance moves?
I don't think it was sexual. It was just, like, I don't know, I loved his voice. I just thought it was so cool. Yeah, and I wasn't, you know, socially aware enough to know that he'd stolen all of his cool stuff from black people, but... But, yeah, here we are.
Never I still appreciate his music still, though.
A beautiful voice. Yeah. A very handsome-sounding voice. And he was a very good-looking man for most of his life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even, like, I still love Fat Elvis. Like, that's my costume.
I like Fat Elvis, too, because it's like, pull up a seat, Elvis. Like, let's not move. Let's watch the TV on your 13-inch TV at Graceland and shoot guns at it. And eat peanut butter and banana sandwiches.
I mean, that's delicious. So
yeah,
and have some fucking Percocets or something or whatever he likes. I don't know.
A little bit of this, a little of that.
Yeah, just like I imagine like that little money changer thing, but full of pills. You know, the thing on your belt, the guy from Shining Time Station had, full of nickels.
You've had your whole life to think this through.
Oh, I have. I thought about this a lot
on the Todd Glass podcast. They have a clip of like a concert. that Elvis had, like, he was doing in, like, Las Vegas or something. It's like, I'm not strung out. I've never been strung out a day in my life. And you guys telling me that I'm strung out is, like, it's bad for my manager, my doctor, my family. He, like, names off all these people. It's like, and I've never been strung out. It's like, sounds very strung out in that clip.
He was in hardcore denial.
Elvis doth protest too much, methinks.
Well, like, it was all stuff he actually had prescriptions for, right?
Yep.
He just abused them.
Like Michael Jackson. Like a lot of people who are very famous lonely. Oh, it got sad. But you were Elvis Stoico for Halloween once?
I was also Elvis Stoico.
Were you in the Elvis jumpsuit, but you're like, no, I'm the other one.
No, it was the same wig, but...
Because if your name is Elvis, why wouldn't you?
Yeah. In a full body black unitard.
Nice.
And some skates. It's a very easy
And a
costume.
McCain orange juice or a McCain's curly fries. Oh my God.
I have to do it again just to do that. No, just being college drunk all night.
In a unitard. That must have been hard to... You wear a lot of one-piece
good flexibility,
Halloween
though.
Costumes.
Hard to pee in, but good to move in.
Halloween takes dedication.
I haven't dedicated myself to Halloween for a long time. The last time I had a costume was when I was a double rainbow in 2010.
Wow.
Yeah, I haven't done Halloween in like 6 years.
That's still the picture of you on my phone when you call me, though, is you in your double rainbow costume.
Really?
Yeah.
That's adorable. It was a good costume.
But you never phone me because you don't like talking on the phone.
No.
So I get texts from you, but every once in a while, if you do call, then it just shows up as you going, wee, double rainbow, posing on a ladder.
Oh,
it's very
It was a good look. Yeah, and everybody's like, are you rainbow bright? Fuck off, no! Don't you watch memes? It's 2010.
I've never heard of a
get
meme,
the net.
Asshole.
Ever heard of a meme? Or maybe that was the second to last, because I was also Tank Girl 1 year for Halloween. No, that was 2009. Yeah, I haven't done it since 2010. And I was planning to this year, and I just, like, nothing has materialized. So I was going to be Barb from Stranger Things for Halloween. I thought that would be a really good
costume
for me.
Oh, you would pull that off so well.
I just need, like, I could probably get the things from a Value Village
would
or something.
Would you dye your hair or wear a wig?
No, I would just leave it because it's already kind of orange.
Uh-huh.
I'd just wash it till it was really faded and put big curls in, I think.
Yeah, just a lighter red.
Yeah. Or, yeah, I guess I could just bleach it and then just do it, like, that sort of rosy... like strawberry blonde.
It seems like dedication to like dye your hair for Halloween. The
or just
guy
like
at the beer store was doing that. He went as some crazy gaucho wrestler guy and like took all the color out of his hair and just left it all like and like dyed his beard and all this. I'm like, wow, that's dedication.
A gaucho wrestler?
Well, that's what he called him. He's
weird.
Some ultimate gaucho wrestler guy.
Oh, he must be like luchador type.
No,
stuff. Or no, something gaucho. Isn't that like Spanish? Like a Spanish. Ethnic group or something?
I thought that was sort of a slur for, like, a low-rent kind of...
That was our first podcast episode. I talked about wearing gaucho pants because
they're
comfortable, and you're like, I think that's racist. Like,
I know, I think that it is. That's what...
Palazzo pants, then.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway.
I'm looking to you. Do you know?
Authority. No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
But yeah, he's some kind of wrestler, and I got to see the costume. It was pretty badass, so...
Is that the cute guy who works at the liquor store?
Yes, and he said he's going to start listening to our podcast, so now I'm embarrassed.
Oh, I'm not. Hey, you're very cute. Whatever. You're also, like, 25, so...
And he likes pro wrestling and craft beer, so...
Like, every single man that I know in my entire life.
Yeah.
You're not special. You're cute, though. So, good on you, I guess.
Anyway, I just thought the dedication of, like, dyeing your hair for something. Like, I just never... Yeah. I've never gone that far for a Halloween costume. I have bought wigs before, but actually... Oh, maybe I did spray paint my hair black one time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I always try to find things that, like, work with my hair color.
Would you ever go as Madame Medusa from The Rescuers?
I look exactly like Madame Medusa from The Rescuers, like, except I have better teeth and slightly smaller breasts that don't sag like hers do. Because she's, like, got this, like, kind of a belly, and she's, like, her whole front body is kind of, like, sagging like an old house a little bit, and she's like, ugh, I'm going to kidnap children and steal big diamonds. I haven't seen The Rescuers in a very long time.
I don't know what
time.
This is.
Oh, I'm going to look up a picture for you and be like, oh, no, Katie, that's terrible.
Wait, is this the cartoon?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, with the mice.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like...
The Rescuers.
I thought you were talking about something newer.
Chippendale's Rescue Rangers?
Yeah.
I always get those things
mixed up. Sometimes, some crimes,
Oh, fuck yeah.
Because yeah. I think you even have earrings like that.
Oh, yeah, I have earrings in that exact color.
You shouldn't be talking about a woman's saggy breast like that, but she's a cartoon.
They are so saggy. Okay. Look at those. They are. They are drooping. I basically have this exact outfit. All I would need is, like, a giant plastic gem or jewel. Like, she even has green eyes. Like, it's so funny.
You gotta wear a lot of blue eyeshadow, though.
You own a lot of blue eyeshadow. That's pretty good.
Oh my god. Yeah, it's really alarming.
Katie's just making a really good face that matches that.
Yeah, I look, and then somebody redrew her and it looks even more like me, kind of. I was like, fuck. I look like a really creepy villain. It's fine. And she does have pretty saggy boobs. Oh my god, look at how far down they go.
You could totally pad your tummy to do that if you wanted to.
She's got super big feet too. I'm like, bitch. She looks like if you just, like, took all of the things that make Jessica Rabbit, and then just, like, gravity, like, times 10.
Just melted a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a wax figure that's been left out of the sun.
I'm not bad. I'm just drawn that way. It's a great, it'd be a good costume. But nobody would get it because, like, it's not a popular Disney movie. Like,
Madame Medusa?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I have one friend who would lose her shit. But then nobody else would know what I was doing. They're like, you just look like a sad woman who had too much to drink.
Well, just keep your phone queued up and then they'll get it. She's or like, just tell a bunch of people you know to watch it beforehand.
Look, no, could you please watch this 90-minute film?
Do this research so that my costume has some kind of context,
this
please.
80s children's movie.
I don't know what else. I could also be like a troll doll, like if I put a gem in my belly button. Or I guess I could just be like a character
totally
from Steven
naked
Universe.
Otherwise.
Totally naked. With no, like, discernible breasts at all. Just flat.
Just wear like a skin color, like to match your skin color.
Like sports
onesie.
Bra or whatever, yeah. Oh.
Take some good.
That's awful. No, what else could I be? I could be a flame princess from Adventure Time.
Mm-hmm. What I else? Really like the troll doll.
You like it?
Yeah, you gotta get, like,
I just gotta walk around, like, with my arms out all day. Like,
that's your skin tone. And then, yeah, like, pad out the stomach so it's, like, really round and you have no breasts.
I don't need the padding to make my stomach look round. I got one.
The troll level, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a smoothness. Mm-hmm. An all-over smoothness. Why were they such a big fucking deal? I guess it feels cool to play with
and
their
why
hair.
Is there a current movie about them? They were a popular toy, like, 20 years ago.
Weird. I used to play with troll dolls obsessively. And I don't know why, but we just had all of our little trolls. It was me and my friend Sienna, and we would play in puddles, like, in the schoolyard or whatever.
This was, like, grade 12?
The bright hair, because, like,
it's grade 3.
Okay.
Yeah, the bright hair. You'd put them on your pencil so that you'd have something fun. I remember, like, I would always, I had this thing where I would rub soft things on my cheek.
Oh, yeah.
And I apparently always had this since I was a little kid. My mom was like, oh, you would always rub, like, cream or, like, a silk blanket. And even when I tan in the summer, I still have a white patch from, like,
oh my god, that's...
I don't know.
All they're rubbing.
But I used to, like, just brush the troll doll, like, on my face. It was, like, a soothing thing, maybe.
It's a stim.
Well,
and then, like,
your cheeks are very sensitive, so...
Yeah. But so I would definitely do that with troll dolls. But then we had, like, all these scenarios. It was like Barbies, but then it was cooler because it wasn't Barbies. It was trolls. And so there was,
you had,
like,
to be secretive.
We had Grover, the orange-haired one, and then there was Purple-haired Guy, who was the purple-haired one. That was
pretty
his,
on the nose.
That was his name. And they were all genderless, I believe. Like, they were all kind of like, is that a girl troll or a boy troll? Like, we didn't know, and in our game it didn't really matter.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we just, like, concoct these, like, elaborate scenarios for them, and then they'd go on, like, epic adventures over the course of, like, many recesses. So I wonder if it was, like, early Dungeons & Dragons kind of stuff. A little bit. We didn't have any dice, but we were very imaginative.
Playgrounds and trolls instead of Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, the idea of these, like, I don't know, little mythical creatures.
Wishes, was that a thing? Like, what was the jewel
for?
Yeah,
I thought,
you would, like,
yeah,
rub
their
the
jewels. Yeah.
Magic power, mm-hmm. probably. A magic jewel power.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, maybe I could dress as a pog for Halloween if we're going, like, back to 1993.
Just, like, a circle around yourself and you would just be you on a pog? It's Katie, but in pog form.
She's back in pog form. Yeah, exactly. Or I could be a slammer and just, like, bash into people.
Oh,
okay.
Like, fuck it, now I own you because I flipped you over.
So, I was down in Eugene hanging out with my friend Rachel, and then her son, we were, like, playing Pokemon because the new Pokemon is out, so we, like, went on a Pokemon walk and, like, we're, you know, collecting Pokemon. And I was like, oh, we used to have this when I was younger. And he's like, oh, what other things did you have when you were a kid? And I was like, oh, have you heard of Pogs? Because he was talking about Pokemon cards. And I was like, I explained the Pog thing. And I was like, and they had awesome characters on them. And you'd stack them up. They were like paper. And then you had these big things called a slammer that you would like slam in and scatter them. And then you would like trade them. And he was like, that sounds dumb. I was like, oh.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty dumb.
It was. It totally was.
It lasted for like 9 months.
But you know what was even them, like, dumber? Cards, like,
yeah.
Well, I had a binder full.
Like, yeah. People were, all obsessed with authenticity with their Pogs. It was like, your Pogs don't count if they're not real Pogs. Those aren't real Pogs.
It's literally just a paper circle.
I know. I only had fake Pogs.
I had the whole real Simpsons Pog set, though.
I also had all the Simpsons ones.
My brother gave it to me.
That was a big deal.
I love how they made fun of Pogs on The Simpsons, but still took advantage of merchandising.
How could you not?
How could you not?
But, like, I forget what the rules of Pogs were, because I was more into the collecting them than playing the game.
Yeah.
But, like, if you had your slammer and you had a tower, would you get to keep some if they were somebody else's? Like, how did it work? I forget. I try to think.
I'm like, yeah, you get... Wait, what?
Yeah,
I think you just, like, put all of your Pogs, like, in a stack with the other person's Pogs, and then whatever ones you flipped, you got to keep, whether they were yours or...
Oh, it was if they flipped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you would try to, like, balance the slammer so it would, like, hit the edge and then, like split the whole thing upside down.
So that a whole bunch would scatter.
Yeah, so anything that flipped over, you got to keep. Cool. So you would play not with your precious, precious Pogs, but the ones you didn't care about. Mm-hmm. I had a really cool... My favorite Pog... Mm-hmm. was a white Pog that was a holographic foil, like, ink printing of Cleopatra, but, like, with a snake on her titty. So, like, Cleopatra at the moment of her, fuck you, Octavian, you're not taking me down, suicide. It was a pretty baller fucking Pog, and I think it says a lot about me that as an 8-year-old, that was the one I was most drawn to. I was like, goddamn, this one's cool as shit.
They had so metal.
We're all gonna die one day.
It's metal as fuck.
And my slammer looked like one of the, like, a circular saw. It had, like, the teeth around
the
outside.
I had those ones, too.
Those are the coolest ones you got.
It was a circular saw, but it had a yin-yang in the middle.
Oh, I had the exact same one. I'm having, like, a real sense memory of the Pogs now, of, like, shoving them back into, like, a circle tube when it would, like, and the air would, like, poofed out. And then you put your slammer on top, and it had, like, a thunk sound, and then you would snap it shut. And it would, yeah.
My tube originally had gum in it, so it perpetually smelled like blue raspberry.
Do you remember Screaming Saucers?
Mm-mm.
It was a candy that turned your mouth blue, and that everybody in my elementary school, I assumed all elementary schools did the same thing, just because I don't understand how regions work as a child. But, like, everybody convinced us that, like, blue raspberry candy, especially Screaming Saucers, gives you cancer.
Oh my god.
And so, like if you're like, ah, it's so many Screaming Saucers, look how blue my mouth is, and then somebody'd be like, you're gonna die from mouth cancer now or something.
Oh,
it's
my
like,
god.
Oh no. They don't make them anymore, so maybe.
And also only give you a rash.
And also come to your bedroom in the middle of the night and paint a rash on you. Oh, this is like a bunch of, like, kind of forced nostalgia. Like, yeah, you remember this thing?
Yeah.
Remember? It's like when Chris Farley has his fucking his show on SNL. It's like, hey, Michael J. Fox, remember when you went back in time? Yeah, that was cool. That was awesome.
Did that really happen?
No, it was acting for the movie. Oh, cool.
That was like a proto Between Two Ferns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Zach Galifianakis show.
Yeah.
Where he gets, like, the most powerful people in the world to be on it.
The Hillary Clinton one was pretty good.
Yeah.
I haven't watched that yet.
Did you guys see any of the jokes that she had at that Alfred E. Smith dinner?
I just saw it on Twitter and didn't actually see any.
I didn't
want
to watch it, so I just, like, found a transcript of it. And whoever is writing for her, they were amazing jokes.
Nice. Really?
Honestly. Yeah. Yeah. They were really, really... Ooh, it was incisive. It was like a surgical steel flash.
Good. I don't know. It's almost the end of American election time.
I can't wait till
like,
it's done.
I can't wait.
I didn't mean to start talking about it. I'm so sorry.
It's we kind of
can't ignore it.
Yeah,
it's hard to ignore it.
The frustrating thing that happened to me this week was that my partner shared a Donald Trump video with, like, he's got some really good points, and I was like, oh god, what? And so I was like, I have to watch this to see what is it that he's talking about. And I watched it, and it was black and white, and it was obviously edited and, like, cut and spliced together to make Trump sound coherent. And I was like, dude, you've been had. Like, this is someone, like, edited it together to make it sound like he's making really good points about, like, how politics are corrupt. But, like, this guy is, like, a fucking narcissistic billionaire. He's not any better. And it just made me so mad. I, like, went to bed angry.
Oh.
That's tough.
It was really not good. I'm like, oh, man, like, I'll take your conspiracy theory, like, Rothschild, World Bank, fucking New World Order shit, like, any other time, but not now.
Is that, that makes me think of, have you seen, I'm just, like, coming back to everything that came out in 1993 for some reason. I'm thinking of So I Married an Axe Murderer, the Mike Myers film.
Oh, that movie's about me. That's female butcher.
Oh, yeah. Harriet. Hard-hearted harbinger of haggis.
Like, yeah, I sell haggis. Like, yeah. Okay, but that's all about
it. It's totally about me. Except that I don't kill people, but she didn't either. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, my sister does.
But the, oh yeah, so is that true?
Uh-oh.
Is that why you were so reluctant to talk about living with your sisters? Because she's a murderess?
Oh, she's kind of a femme fatale type. No, that's not true.
No, but the any of the scenes with his dad, who is him, and then his mom, because they are obsessed with the National Enquirer. Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm on my weekly world news Garth Brooks juice diet. the dad talks about, like, essentially the Illuminati, as mm-hmm. like people talk about it. It's like the Rothschilds, the Gettys, like it just starts listing them, like they all meet at this secret mountain lair and they're called the Pentaveret, and I'm like, it's straight up just talking about the Illuminati. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, none of this stuff is real. We've been like talking shit about it forever. Yeah. It's all the Masons. That's who's doing it.
Well, it was the Masons originally.
It's true.
I definitely, you know, Da Vinci Coded. I went on, like, a Da Vinci Code tour. like, when I was in Paris, I did a whole bunch of Da Vinci Code shit, and then when I was in Scotland, oh my God, I went to Rosslyn Chapel and, like, looked at all the artifacts and was just like, but how is there, like, carvings of ears of corn, but it's in the 1400s before anyone even went to the New World, which is where corn was, and how did they carve that into the chapel? That's super weird. And then they're like, he was a secret Viking. And then he, like, the Rosslyn guy, like, which is kind of like Rothschild, which is like, he was like a secret Viking and went and discovered the New World before and then came back and carved it into the chapel. I'm like,
oh,
I kind of dig it.
Or yeah. It's like, it was just someone didn't draw wheat very good. Look at this corn. Like, oh no, shit, that's supposed to be wheat. I'm not very good at carving.
I mean,
what's corn?
Carving's hard, guys.
You carve meat.
Yeah, but it's all of the marks are already there. You just follow the lines.
Just follow your nose.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus,
follow the path
Christ.
Where the caribou walks.
Yeah. But so yeah, I'm ready for that to be over. And then we get to talk about local elections after that.
Oh,
hooray.
Joy. Great. Yeah. Great. It's so good.
I don't know. I just, like, I had feelings about this week, which is going to be outdated when this comes out, but it's, like, where Trump called Hillary, like, a nasty woman, you know, and then it's become this rallying cry of, like, white feminists being like, I am a nasty woman, like, this pussy's yeah. gonna take you over, and, like, all these amazing, like, black women, like, journalists that I follow on Twitter are like, dude, have you ever been called nasty by your grandmother at church? Like, this is a real thing. It's not nice, and I hate that you it was, like, slut walk all over again.
Yeah.
Being, like, some people have the power to claim, like, a bad thing and, like, try to reclaim it as, like, an empowered thing, yeah. and some folks, like, still live it, and it's actually not that great, so maybe lay the fuck off. It's like, oh, all these, like, nasty women t-shirts are coming out now.
Fuck, like, yeah, make some money off of that.
Never really thought about it that way.
I like that I follow some folks on Twitter that
have a different perspective.
Because I get really on the bandwagon right off the bat, and I was like, oh, this is so funny, amazing, and then, like, luckily, there's a few folks that I follow on Twitter that are right away with the, like, have you thought about it this way? It's like, oh. Yeah, okay, good.
I found a little quip from the Alfred E. Smith dinner. Like, whoever is writing her jokes is so good. She's like, I've got to say, there are a lot of friendly faces in this room, people I've been privileged to know and work with, and I just want to put you all in a basket of adorables. The basket of deplorables thing, have you heard that? That's...
I think I'm out of the loop, and I can't, like, yeah.
But you all look so good in your tuxes, or as I refer to them, formal pantsuits. Which I just really like. Mm-hmm. It's good little self-roast, you know?
Yeah.
She loves a pantsuit.
I just kind of wonder what she's like, and I've been really, like, having this whole, like, you read backgrounders on Hillary Clinton around, like, she has gone through a lot in her life, you know, and yeah. you just want to, I'm getting sucked in a little bit by the personality, just like I was with Trudeau, like right near the end, where it's just like, but they actually have worked really hard their whole life and they just want to do this thing. It's going to be great. And so I'm going to have the same thing with Hillary Clinton, like I am with Justin Trudeau right now, where it's like, oh, we've been let down massively.
Oh, of course.
You know, nothing like, yeah, it's still a figurehead of the same shit.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, not naive about that.
Just like, how can she help but be a product of, like, the world? Like, to be a woman in politics, like, especially...
For as long as she has been.
Yeah, like, you gotta play the game. And, yeah, end up doing all this horrible things that you hopefully regret.
Mm-hmm. It's not good. Like, I don't like politics at all. I'm not very interested in them. I actually got into, like... My wife and I got into, like, almost a fight where I was just like, I don't... About the, like, the Vancouver school board was all fired from their positions and then replaced with a single person who, I know the daughter of the woman who was appointed, Diane Turner, who is the superintendent of Delta Schools. So, like, I know the daughter of this woman. And so, like, all of the rhetoric around, like, oh, she's, like, an agent of evil and all this stuff. She's, like, my friend's, like... like, that's my mom.
Yeah,
I love my mom.
That, like, fucking sucks a lot.
That sucks a lot. And like, and my wife was like, well, you know, she's doing bad things. I was like, well, I don't know that. Like, I don't. And I realized, like, I don't know. And then I realized I don't want to know about it. Mm. I was like, oh, I don't have to know about it. That's that nice little bit of blissful ignorance where I'm like, doesn't actually impact me. The people that I know who know a lot of things have formed opinions about this. And I'm just gonna, like, go with that. Yeah. And that is my fucking giant privilege. I was like, oh, I don't have to think about this. I don't have to get all heated about this. I can just be like, whatever's gonna happen is gonna happen, and I didn't have any power over it anyway. So, ta-da.
Yeah.
I really like hiding from stuff sometimes.
Oh, it feels great.
There's a reason that I like having a job in politics, because for my job and during the day, I'm following all these things and I'm getting a lot of information, and then I get to go home and then I don't have to necessarily think about it.
Yeah, see, when I get home, I'm like, oh, I should probably pay attention to what's going on in the world.
Ugh.
It's been drowning in meat all day.
But so in terms of, like, our emotional labor, like, the stuff that I get, so this is another example of that where it's like, I need to care, I need to pay attention, I need to be up on all this stuff. It's like the fact that I actually get paid to do that now is that's part of my job description is like a real relief.
That's so cool.
That's
because
great.
I would normally do that just for free and then be super into, like, and then I'm going to this rally and that thing and this thing, and then it's like now I actually just do that as
that's
a job.
Part of your job. I never fucking thought of that until you just mentioned it. That's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, huh, how much it might be easier to, like, you don't have to, like, get the chutzpah to go and do it as part of non-waged work that you're doing, like, in the community or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's, like, part of your gig. And that's pretty cool.
Which is nice, because I always would go to those things but feel so exhausted or, like, you know, it's on the tail end of my 3 night shifts in a row and then I'm going to go to this rally because it's a thing that I care about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, but it's like, but now I have made myself get into a position that is part of my work. And so I get to go and I get to organize other people to go and I get to provide support for other people to go.
And do a better job at all of it.
Yeah. So it feels better.
Fuck, yeah. But just what you said, like, sometimes it feels so good to hide from things. Like,
yeah.
Trying to keep aware of everything is so exhausting.
That's emotionally exhausting. Oh, mm-hmm.
I don't know. How do you do it? You're like, I hide from it. Yeah. I thought we just established that.
Pretty much, yeah. Let my friends do my opinion making for me.
I'm not uninformed. Like, I mean, I am uninformed about some things, but, like, things that actually seem, like, large scale or very important, I will look at. But then I just, like, I know people who work for open media and for, like, so, like, anything to do with the TPP and the CIRTC and stuff and the CBC, I'm like, I don't know, Josh, how should I feel about this? Okay, great, that's how I feel.
Well, because, you know, he has done all the research and they actually write reports and they do knowledge translation, so it's like...
Yeah, and it's his job.
Yeah, so it's like, hey, you've put together some, like, cliff notes for me. Great. Thank you.
That's true.
And that literally is their job, to make those things more accessible. Because, like, I have read some legislation, my friends. It's fucking
once or twice.
Dry.
Yeah.
It's really hard to read. It's so hard to understand. Like, I watched this show called Brain Dead, which is all about a constituency caseworker in the United States for a senator. So Noelle suggested that I watch it. And it's basically my job. And they have this, like, one thing where it's like a new budget is coming out and they take the budget, which is this like 5,000-page document and rip it into pieces and give each piece to a different intern to, like, read. And it's like, wow. That's basically what you have to do. And it's like, we found the secret thing hidden in the farm bill, like, way in the back that nobody would have.
Huh.
And, like, so there are people that are really good at decoding, like, what does this mean? And, like, my eyes just gloss.
Thank God
over.
For those people.
Thank yeah. God for those people. So you
Thank
can actually
you, people
have...
who do that.
Our good friend Katie Rasso, when the Canadian budget came out, they were like, here, let us decode this for you.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to do a small chunk and do an infographic about it. I'm mm-hmm. like, fucking thank God, because...
Thank God.
Infographics are the best, and I love knowledge translation, so I'm trying to do that in my work where it's like, here's something that's really complicated, but here's actually the 4 steps that you need to do to navigate this process. So we've condensed it into a brochure.
There's methods. Yeah. I always just thought I was dumber than everyone else.
No, it's really hard
Stuff
to understand.
It's difficult for everybody.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, like, even around, like, the residential tenancy branch, for example, mm-hmm. there's, like, a group called the Tenant Resource Advisory Center Council or something,
hmm.
and they put out a tenant survival guide. That is the most often the thing that's taken from our office, because they're like, what is my landlord responsible for? It's like, you could...
So many things.
Yeah, you could read the whole Tenancy Act, or you could read this little booklet that they made that has, like, everything, like...
That's so good.
You know, with, like, illustrations, honestly, mm. and, like,
yeah.
everything's, like, put together in a really reasonable
simple
way.
Simple language.
Very simple language. They have, like, form letters that you can copy. It's like, you should write to your landlord like this. Here's a sample. Mm-hmm. Just change the details.
Right on.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, especially, like, the likelihood that you'll be taken advantage of by your landlord
is quite high.
Very high.
And so that's the one piece of advice that we give a lot, where it's like, if you just write a letter and say, these are my rights, I went to my MLA's office and she helped me figure this out, please deal with that. That, like, is usually because people come in and they want us to fix everything, and it's like, if you just write this letter asserting your own rights and saying that you had some advice...
Yeah.
Like,
I got legal advice.
Yeah, 9 times out of 10, it's not even legal. It's yeah. just, like, literally, here's the legislation, this is what your rights are. Like, that's going to be the thing.
Well, it's
helps.
Advice about the law, so technically it's legal advice.
I guess so. We have to be very careful about that. We do not give legal advice.
Oh, no, but the tenant could say, like, I got some legal advice, because, yes. yeah. But you're not yeah. like, I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah.
Thank
but
God.
So anyway, I think that's very interesting that, like, so many people don't necessarily know what their rights are, even, and they're just like, well, I went through all this stuff, and now I'm in this situation. It's like, shit, if you had only known your rights beforehand, that this could have been prevented.
Yeah.
So, but I just, like, so that's, like, an education piece and making, like, the law simple. And
yeah.
sometimes you just need to be told, like, I want to write a letter about this issue. Here's a form letter that you can use. Like, those are
nice.
Good. We read every single one of them.
Oh,
even
God.
If it's a form letter.
Holy shit.
Bring it in. Then we can calculate, like, how many people are upset about this thing. Like, form letters are great.
How
so,
many asses are burned.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess a lot of it is just knowing who to ask for help.
Yeah.
Your local MLA.
Yeah. We can at least point you in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
That's good stuff.
But unfortunately, a lot of people come in and are just like, fix this for me. I need you to call my landlord. I'm like, you know what? That's actually going to make things worse for you.
Almost certainly.
Because mm-hmm. your landlord will think that, like, it's a huge escalation of, like,
yeah.
power
yeah.
or whatever.
We got the prime minister on the phone.
Yeah, it's like, we're not doing that. Like,
no.
you need to write a letter and just say that you have rights, and that's actually what works most of the time.
Yeah, I bet. Oh, God. I was just thinking, like, I'm so glad that the internet and Google are things now, because
mm-hmm.
I don't, like, just have to know these things. I can just be like, okay, you know what? I don't have room in my brain for this right now, so I'm just going to let it go. And then, like, 3 weeks later, I'll hear something similar about the thing that I was putting away and go, like, wait a second, that sounds important. And then I can just Google it
mm-hmm.
and then, like, get an answer instead of having to, like, just keep it all upstairs.
Thank God, yeah.
I just don't have room. Like, are you guys feeling like that a lot lately? I don't know if it's just the change in season or whatever, but I'm just like, I can't keep up.
Oh, my God. I think my memory is slipping. I don't know. Maybe, like, years of alcohol abuse or what. Or low B12.
Possibly. Oh, definitely low B12.
Mm.
Let's go with that instead.
Yeah. Which is...
Take some. Make your pee very bright.
Mm-hmm. yeah, my sister was making fun of my yellow pee.
Because you're getting your B12 now? She's making... your pee is yellow? Is that what she's doing? Like...
Pretty much.
Fuck.
God,
like,
that's
what color
yellow
do you want
pee,
it to be?
Girl.
It's like, should be clear, like, and get out of my life!
But I didn't know why at first. I was just like, what? I don't know. I'm dehydrated.
Do you guys follow the, if it's yellow, let it mellow rule in your household? Because, like, why does she see your pee?
Oh, we just, like...
You just pee into sample containers and leave them out.
Show each other off.
Hey, does this look good?
I don't know, getting ready in the morning, two girls in the same house, you just gotta make some compromises. Am I right?
Just piss in front of each other?
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty intimate. Yeah. There's one person out there who got really excited about that. Yes, it's just being in front of each other. That's my thing.
We don't, like, make eye contact while we do it or anything.
You both be at the same time when you, like, I'm just in the bathtub. Like, just locked eyes.
I need you, Ashley.
I can't go if you're not staring me in the face. It got really weird really fast.
You got a FaceTime.
Thank you for yes-anding my weird pee story. Oh, man.
That went too far.
Yeah, sorry. I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry.
What we're talking about, just like...
Feeling like it's too much in your brain.
Yeah.
I feel that when I went away to Portland, I like didn't check my Twitter at all because I was trying to like not use data. And then, like, came back and was like, why is everyone talking about clowns? I don't understand.
Oh, my God.
It's apparently some killer clown epidemic happening. I was just like, you know what? I choose not to know about this until it, like, comes up again. Until
you, like, have a clown standing
over you. Is this happening in multiple places?
All over the world, apparently? I don't know.
I heard it's just, like, a viral campaign for the new It movie.
But then people, like, it started like that, but then other people are dressing up and being creeps.
I feel like this is exactly, like, the satanic panic in the 80s and 90s. Mm-hmm. Like, where it's, like, everybody's doing satanic rituals and, like... No, like, some bitches got a Ouija board. Like, that's basically what you like. Usually we're just, like, smoking pot and watching The Craft. Like, yeah. That's really all.
I forgot about that, actually, though. But yeah, that was totally a thing. People would be like, oh, these satanic teenagers defaced the high school.
Yeah. Then it's usually isn't Satan has nothing to do with it. He's like, don't bother me. I'm on vacation. I've been very hard at work for the last little while.
Please do not invoke me for this bullshit.
It's not like, ah, what is this? Is this goat's blood? Ew.
I saw this amazing movie the other day that it was on my Shudder subscription. There was just...
What is that?
Oh, it's like a new horror...
S-H-U-D-D-E-R?
Yeah, horror streaming service.
Ooh. Wow, they've got specific streaming services for everything that's available here in Canada?
I think it's the first one that's like really genre-specific.
Well, we got CISO in the States, which is comedy.
Oh, okay.
Which I wish we could fucking get up here.
One day.
But you've got Shudder. So you're really... Are you really into horror?
In October I am.
You just like to get real into Halloween.
Yeah. Let's get spooky.
This is a movie that's a compilation of three other movies that were so bad they had to cut them all down to 25 minutes long and then frame them within this narrative that God and Satan are on a train together and they're telling one another stories about people and whether they're truly lost or not. But meanwhile, in a different part of the train, there's just like there's this band and all these dancers and they just keep playing the same song over and over again.
Oh God, that does sound like hell.
Sounds a lot like hell.
It's amazing. And for some reason the train is in space as well.
That was really out of left field.
It came up
Snowpiercer?
Totally organically.
So they made three movies into one movie and then framed it with God and the devil.
Yeah.
It's like, this one's my story. Mm. This one's my story.
It's like a clip show. Like,
which one was the devil? Which one was God? I don't know. That's the movie.
Yeah.
Which one's which? All right, am I your angel or your devil?
They make it very clear which is which.
Oh, blame. I'm not interested in that. I want it to be, like, totally indistinguishable
it's
and weird.
Very tropey.
Sounds like it. I'm really, like, I'm very easily spookable. I really get scared. When I was home alone this week, I don't know if you know the website Jezebel, which I don't really usually read anymore, but, because Lindy West isn't on it anymore, but every year they do, like, everybody tell your own scary horror stories, like, from your own lives, so, like, your own ghost stories that you've experienced.
No!
And so I read, like...
I'm spooked already!
Like, 3 or 4 hours of this while home alone. I was like, Tessa, when are you coming home? I don't want to go to bed till you... I live in an apartment, like, I'm in a high rise. It's not likely to be home.
Fly, Katie.
Yeah, but
zombies can't though. So you're good.
That building's only like it's 10 years old, and I don't think anyone's died in it. Maybe someone has, but probably not in my house. I don't know. They have to tell you,
not
right? Does anybody die here? You have to tell me. If you're a cop, you have to tell me. I'm your real estate agent.
That is an Ethan for you thing.
Oh. I haven't seen it.
Oh, my God. It's so good.
It looks very awkward.
Oh, it's so cringy. But in one episode, he gets a woman who's a real estate agent to, like, brand herself as, like, the phantom real estate agent. So she'll, like,
sells only haunted houses?
Only places where they've cleansed them of evil spirits.
Yes. So it's and like it, they it bring in they bring far. In a ghost hunter and then they like do a big cleansing ritual. And
yeah,
then, but then it got really spooky.
It did.
And I was like, the house is actually haunted.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's okay. So,
but like, I said actually haunted. Like,
I kind of
these people have issues they need to sort out.
I believe in it enough that I'm terrified of the thought of being like in a scary house by myself with the lights off or whatever. But like, I was reading these stories. And some of them were, like, they definitely had a logical explanation. Like, there was, like, a person who, like, had committed a crime who, like, got into their house and, like, had scared them or something. It's, like, so there was, like, real stuff that happened. Like, somebody who'd been observed by someone in their house and, like, had written a log of, like, look at me. Like, look at me.
Ew.
Look at me. It's so scary. Like, there was, like, footsteps everywhere. There's, like, muddy footprints in the house. And it's, like, you just didn't hear them because you had these amazing noise-canceling headphones on. And if you'd taken them off, you probably would have been killed or whatever. So, like, that was a really scary... Oh, I got goosebumps.
I don't like it. I'm often, like, in my house with headphones in, and my roommates will say, like, oh, like, I locked the front door because you were just in here with headphones and the door was open. And I was like, oh, thanks. Like, I totally wouldn't have... And I didn't hear them approach. I'm like, I should probably be more careful about that.
I was really enjoying how scared I was, though, because I was reading these, like, I've had, like, a scary experience that I think I've talked about on the podcast before, because I wrote, like, wrote it as the experience had happened, but it made it sound kind of more interesting than just, like, and then a thing happened, and it was very scary, and we ran like crazy, but basically, like, we did a seance in a graveyard, when
as
I was 11 or 12.
Already so scary.
Because... my elementary school was, like, built on the same parcel of land as the North Delta Cemetery, so it was, like, Brook Elementary School. If you want to look at the map, Google map it. Google map view it. You can view it. You can street view it.
Very
it was immediately
easy
beside this, like, very small cemetery, but it's super easy to get into. Like, you just open the gate and walk in, right? It's never closed or locked. And the fence is, like, yay
people
big.
People want to be able to visit their loved ones.
Absolutely. And so, like, we played every day next to a cemetery, so it kind of got... We became a bit of nerd to it over time. Mm-hmm. But then, of course... Now and Then came out that year, and The Craft came out that year.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and Now and Then they have, like, we do exactly what they do in Now and Then, which is, like, we are 11-year-old girls having a seance in a and it was with, like, my two elementary school bully girls, and we had a seance together, and, like, our candle went fucking crazy. Like, the flame on the candle grew to, like, a foot high, and there was no wind, but the trees were creaking above us, and we were, like, just, we suddenly were so scared. Like, we were just, like, oh no, we have to leave now. And we ran away, like, we, like, leapt over the fence and, like, ran through the school. And then, like, we were like, oh no, we have to put the spirit back or whatever. We're like, okay, oh, spirit, go back. The door of the fucking school opened and slammed shut. It was summer. Like, there was nobody in there. Right? So scary. I love a spook. So, like, I love to get spooked.
Still with you now.
Oh God. What if I'm just, like, a meat jager for that ghost? It's just piloting me around like a Krang.
So many references all
like
in one.
A Krang.
What if I'm a meat jager that's being piloted like Krang?
Like a Krang. Always like a Krang. Yeah, so that was... So it was stories like that and just, like, really scary stuff of, like, a ghost pickup truck, like, harassing their farm and... Oh, it was so good. But I don't like scary films for some reason. Like, movies are a bridge too far for me, but when I read the stories, like, do you remember Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark?
Uh-uh.
Oh, that was a Scholastic Book Fair book. That was absolutely terrifying.
Yikes.
Yeah. Some good
I remember doing like Ouija board stuff and then getting kind of scared, and then I also was the scarer in a few because I was pretty good at, like, keeping a poker face, and I would, like, move the thing down and, like, scare people by, like, oh, it's moving without its own volition.
Yeah,
blah, blah.
They never scared me because I was always the one moving it.
Yeah. So I think that, like, probably it's like, oh, and it moved all on its own. It's like there was one dick like us that was, like, actually moving the thing.
I
always moved the thing and, like, would make it, like, fly up to, like, goodbye, 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 or whatever. It's like, oh, my God. It's like, how could they not tell that I was moving the thing? They were very scared.
Wanted to believe.
Yeah.
I want to believe. Yeah. So I really like, I'm kind of getting into it this, I think I gotta watch that Ash versus Evil Dead series.
It's so good.
I love Lucy Lawless a lot. So
I have very strong feelings. That's Ash?
Yeah. Yeah. I, like, it was like 14 years ago he was doing his book tour at the Ridge Theater, which doesn't even exist anymore. And I just went with a bunch of friends and I met him and he smells like Old Spice. And he's very nice.
Yeah.
So I was in my goth phase at the time. I had this giant collar on, like, with these big, like, bondage rings hanging off. He's like, ooh, that looks fun. And reached out and kind of jingled them. I was like,
ooh. Oh my God, can I touch you?
Yeah. There is some good vibes. some of that Bruce Campbell vibes. But I really, because I loved him because he was on Xena as Autolycus, the Prince of Thieves.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Oh, that's because Lucy Lawless is in Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Yeah, well, they're really good friends. And the guy that produced Xena and produces Ash vs. Evil Dead is Lucy Lawless's husband. And I'm very disappointed Lucy Lawless is not a lesbian.
Yeah.
She should be.
She's the patron saint of lesbians anyway.
Maybe she's bi.
She could be.
Yeah.
She really seemed very convincing when she kissed Gabrielle.
Yeah. Yeah, she did.
Should still do a Xena and Gabrielle, like, team costume, Katie. Oh.
Well, what I proposed doing was, like, I would dress as Xena, and, like, all of my friends who, like, want to could dress as Gabrielle, and I would have, like, 12 Gabrielles. It's just, like, they'd carry me around, like, hey, what's up? I've got muscles. I'd throw my little spicy frisbee around. I meant to say sharp, but I said spicy.
It's a spicy frisbee from now on.
It's a spicy frisbee. All right. That could be the title of this episode. Spicy frisbee.
But yeah, I actually think Ash vs. Evil Dead is, like, so brilliant.
Okay, well, like, I'll watch it tonight.
A perfect representation of what Ash would be like today. You know, like, clearly very disturbed, has a lot of hang-ups about, you know,
losing his hand to an evil entity.
Yeah, being haunted, having to kill a bunch of his friends.
Yeah.
And his girlfriend. And just, like, how he would cope with that now. It's
drinking and fucking and, yeah, and just basically being a huge dirtbag who wears a girdle.
Uh-huh.
I saw the first episode.
Miller Lite, man. That's his life. It's brilliant.
So it looks good. So you do really like, but you were getting real spooked while I was telling you a spooky story, but you like watching spooky shows. You love X-Files.
Not as much as some people, but, like,
enough to write a love song about the X-Files, though.
Yeah, I sang that last time I was on this. We did it last night.
Fun.
It was beautiful. Yeah, actually, I was thinking, like, I'm more into, like, campy, gory shit than actual scary stuff.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's where we differ, because I don't like gore. But you, like, are a butcher, so you're probably fine. You're kind of like, I see this every day.
Yeah, I'm pretty used to blood. But as long as I'm not eating, it's all good fun. Yeah.
I still can't even watch, like, gory stuff. Even spooky stuff is, like, now getting too much.
Yeah, I'm definitely more of a cream puff as I get older, for sure, where I'm kind of like, oh, I'm just too empathetic, or I'm too, like, oh, no, things actually do happen in life that are bad.
Yeah.
But even, like, yeah, sitting alone at home, like, listening to the trees, like, whistle and be spooky, like, my brain can come up with, like, a whole bunch of scenarios of bad things that could be happening. And it's, like, if I'm out in the woods, like, at my mom's house, I used to just, like, love the storms and go into the woods at night, and now I'd, like, sit in the house, I'm like, but there's bears out there and possibly, like, scary people.
It's all the real stuff that's actually scary. Sometimes I'll, like, watch a scary movie and be like, okay, well, like, demons aren't gonna come get me. Mm-hmm. But then I go outside to switch up my laundry, and I'm like, yeah, but, like, a murderer could be around.
A murderer who's a demon. Also, maybe.
Demons are murderers a lot of the time, mm-hmm, I guess.
Probably. Yeah, like, and I've been reading this. I was telling Chris off mic about this book that I've been reading. It's called Marina. It's by Carlos Ruiz Zafón, and it's a gothic novel, and it's got things with, like marionettes, but they might be people. Like, I don't know yet. Like, they might have people parts.
Oh, there's nothing scarier than talking dolls.
Well, it was like, and we broke into this antique greenhouse, and then we heard, like, a whistle, like, a rustling above us, and we looked up, and there was, like, 60 marionette bodies. And then I tripped the mechanism that made them fall down halfway or whatever. I'm like, so this is a young adult novel. This is, like, his grown-up novels are supposed to be scary. I'm like, I'm shitting a fucking brick reading this, but it's been taking me forever to finish it because it's scaring the bejesus out of me.
Oh my god, terrifying.
But I'm just, like, kind of loving being scared this month for some reason. It's weird. I don't get, like, I don't want to be disgusted, but I do want to be, like, I want to be spooked. I want to be thrilled. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I like a thriller. I like a horror that isn't, that is, like, an unseen thing where it's, like, because that's scarier in a lot of ways. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you spooked?
I'm totally spooked out. My knees are shaking.
You know, they're knocking. Do you sound, like, is it going to sound like a xylophone when your bones knock together because you're a cool, spooky cartoon skeleton?
It's like I just need to get back into like loving vampire stuff because I still love it very much, but mm-hmm. like to get back into like the horror of it a little bit, well, I think would be nice because that's like it's unrealistic enough and it's like very sexy and romantic that like mm-hmm. doesn't scare me that much. But I feel like a bit of yeah cream puff lately around scary stuff.
I think
stuff.
That's cool though. I'm tender mostly. I just say yeah. I don't know what my slight aberration lately has been. It's like, oh yeah, okay, let's watch something that's real spoopy.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just an October. It's an October thing for me, totally. Like most of the year, I'm sort of like
Pumpkin Spice Terror.
Yeah. I had one of those today.
Was it delicious?
It was. You gotta get it like half or like a quarter sweetened, but
yeah. Otherwise, it's like just a big old pumpkin pie punch in the face.
Yeah, or else you'll go cross-eyed. But I really like. I think I've like enjoyed them even more ever since people started hating on Basic Bitches so much.
Oh, that's great. You, like, buy yourself a pair of Uggs or something. You're like,
I wanted to be a basic witch for Halloween. Like, get black Uggs. Like, oh, all black Lululemon.
That's a good
or,
title.
Like, a black wig, blowout.
That's so funny.
A tiny black chihuahua.
As you're familiar, yes.
I fucking love that idea, actually. That's great.
You could go as a girl basic gang witch. With basic witches.
I got a t-shirt.
However, Lululemon clothes are so expensive.
They're so expensive. Well, you could just get, like... Just get
your shitty off. Forever 21 black leggings.
I got my fucking Old Navy yoga pants, the only place I ever buy athletic clothes from. Because they're great. They're mm-hmm. and they're dirt cheap, and you can get like a pair of compression leggings for like $12 if you get it off season.
Whoa.
It's crazy.
Okay, I'm gonna look out
okey
for that.
Okie dokie. But you could just like paint the dumb little you thing on it or whatever. No, they're real, trust me. It's fine.
Or carry around like the bag that
it says
has
who
all
is John
the...
Galt on or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, it's like an Ayn Rand quote on there.
Yeah.
It's bad times. Another thing that Chris and I were talking about off mic is because we were talking about, because you were down in Eugene with our past guest, Rachel, who was on their fan fiction episode, and that family does Halloween in a very big way, and they're making a huge haunted house
huge
in their basement.
Huge haunted house, yeah.
And we were joking about, what were we joking about? It was like, oh, our favorite tropes, Electric Boogaloo, who is like, I love saying that, like, Allison 2, Electric Boogaloo. It's like, okay, the only thing I like more than that is when... In a show, we've revealed, like, somebody that we've just been talking to, they couldn't possibly have been here because they've been dead for 40 years. And how it would be really weird if somebody who was, like, a steampunk died and they left their ghost behind. It's like, they've been dead for 40 years. Like, really? Because it looks like they've been dead a lot longer than that. And that they were buried with a clock because they are covered in gears. Like, how fucked up would it be to see a ghost that was a steampunk? You'd be like, when did you die?
Nobody knows. Even though I've got all these clocks on me.
I got so many fucking clocks, you think I could know what time I died? So basically.
To appraise the Doc Martens mm-hmm. in order to find out.
Yeah, basically.
That's how you find out how old anyone is check the bottom of their feet.
What should I do for Halloween?
What should you do for Halloween? I'd be like a little Strega.
I just like...
You could be Baba Yaga.
Oh, yeah.
Just like have a basket full of dolls or something. Like, I've stolen all these children.
It's
any kind of witch. Basically.
I never know like what even to do for Halloween. Last year I went to the Parade of Lost Souls and it was just super rainy. So like my costume
just went as a wet person.
Well, I wore like a fancy dress and vampire fangs, and so I was like a debutante vampire
who was very damp.
Yeah, and then I got rained on.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. So like, and Vancouver's kind of not good for Halloween.
Like, what parties do we go to? Like, what?
There's nothing
like,
happening.
Yeah,
I don't think.
Maybe we're too old. I used to do a huge Halloween party every year when I was a kid. So, like, my birthday's Christmas Day, so we would celebrate my birthday on Halloween instead. And have, like, a huge Halloween party, and we had this huge attic. So when I went down to Eugene and saw my friend's huge haunted house, I was like, I used to do that, too. Like, the main floor of the house was where food would be in, like, a hangout space. The basement was a dance floor, and the upstairs was a haunted house.
That's so cool,
man. So it would be, like... you had to climb up a ladder and getting up into the haunted house, and we'd have, like, the spooky sound effects. Yes, the soundtrack. And you'd have, like, your bowls of peeled grapes and spaghetti to, like, go through and, like, touch all the gross stuff. So,
like, the Simpsons haunted house. Like, these are her brains! Yeah. Like,
there's no grapes left in the bowl. Know.
And lots of, like, strobe light.
Fruit is nature's candy.
But, like, it was so it was really super fun. And so, like, I'm like, oh, I wish that we had those. So I'm sure, like, I know that there's a really cool haunted house in Dunbar that they charge, like, $15. And it's, like, you to a charity of some kind, and you get to go and be spooked at the haunted house. Yeah. You go to Fright Nights at the P&E.
There's a bunch of them, like, out in Aldergrove,
but I don't give a shit about that at all.
I just want to go to a house party where I can wear, like, a fun costume.
Yeah, I really want to wear
I guess just costume. Nobody we know lives in houses anymore, because we're like, we don't want to live in a house, we want to live in a tiny apartment instead, so that there's nobody right at my butt. Want to. Yeah, it's like, that's just the better alternative than living with, like, 8 of your friends when you're now in your 30s. Mm-hmm. Do you live with 8 of your friends?
Well, I live with my sister and
one of my sister.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it gets really weird when you guys are having your pee contest and he's just like, guys.
It's not weird at all.
It's not. It's totally fine.
It's a natural bodily function, you guys.
I actually really have to pee right now.
Okay, yeah, me too. Should we take a break and reassess?
Well, I think, I mean, are we pretty much, we're like getting towards the end, aren't we?
I guess so. Did you want to go over your emotional labor checklist?
Oh, it seems like really stuck in at the end now, but I guess I had a bit of a fit of pique this week where I just got tired of feeling bad all the time. Because I'm like, I feel guilty I'm not doing enough. Like, we were talking about not staying aware enough about things. I'm like, I clearly have to, I'm the thing holding the glue of the universe together, obviously, so I have to do all these things. Doesn't matter, but what I did is I sat down and I fucking wrote a chart of all of the tasks that I do, each, like, daily, weekly, as needed, monthly, whatever, and I figured out how much time I spend. And I spend up to, like, 65 or 70 hours a month doing domestic labor, like meal planning, cooking, grocery shopping, cleaning, like, all of those things. And I was like, if I got that at fair market rate, that would be, like, double my yearly salary, like, altogether. Like, I'd make the money that I make at work, and then I'd make that again on top, like, from doing all of the fucking...
Yeah.
I was like, that's sad. Maybe I can just feel better about making a good contribution and not keep trying to make money by working full-time.
Yeah.
Well, I have a friend who, like, I'm not saying I really agree with this, but he has this, like, really interesting theory about recycling, which is like, well, that's just free labor that I'm giving to the government.
Okay.
Like, sorting out all these things should be something that someone gets paid for, but, like, people get guilted into doing that free labor. Which, like,
it's rich coming from a dude.
I honestly would, like, I don't think anyone should ever have to do the job of, like, sorting out old garbage. Like, if the compost and the recycling and everything were all mixed together, someone would have to deal with that when everything was already rotten, so.
Your friend's politics are bad.
I get the idea. Like, I've heard that about, like, responsibility being offloaded, especially around environmental stuff, where it's like, you know, really you need to make sure that you take shorter showers and sort your recycling, and it's like, in the meantime, companies are, like, polluting the fucking universe.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Right.
Nestle's taking our water!
You know, or, like, you know, oil spills up the coast and stuff like that. Like, those are the things that we should be...
Those are the things that actually make a difference.
Whereas, like, me taking the bus, you know, is better than driving my car, I guess, but at the same time, like, the tiny little individual choices that you make don't add up enough cumulatively to, like, the larger corporate.
I still don't use my green bins. Suck my dick, Strata Council.
I really like, in the city of Vancouver, like, the green bin and the different recycling things, because it helps me, like, throw away my garbage better. Does that make sense? Like, because I have places to sort it, and then I know how much, like, food waste I'm actually, and, like, plastic.
Totally.
Vice versa, and paper stuff. So it's, like, in our house, because in Vancouver, they only pick up the garbage twice a week, but they pick up your compost and recycling once a week. And so we really have changed the way that we deal with our...
That is intelligent.
Instead of just throwing everything away, like, I take a lot more time to, like, actually take out the food out of the Tupperware and put it into the compost instead of just throwing the whole thing in the carpet.
I can be really bad for that.
You know?
Okay, so. I'll start using my green bin. I keep saying that, even on the podcast. I'm like, I'm going to do it.
I've also started eating weird things that, like, a lot of people don't constitute as food.
Wait, what? Explain.
Like, carrot greens.
Oh,
they're edible, yeah.
Anything's edible if you believe in yourself.
And radish greens, too.
And turnip tops and beet greens.
Not so much. Oh, beet greens are delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've always
I got really confused. I kept pulling them up my old roommates, we had, like, an actual plot of land to grow things on. A plot of land? We had a yard.
Huge tracts of land.
Huge tracts of land. Yeah, and I was like, oh, is this kale? Is this spinach? I'm gonna eat it. And they're like, no, that's my beets! Don't pull them up, please.
Yeah, I guess you gotta wait until it's proper harvest.
Wait until it's beety.
Then you eat the beet greens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but those are delicious. And, like, a tip for if you're having hard times with composting because things just smell bad, like, you can keep the compost in the freezer and then just empty it all into your green bin when you put it out.
See, my...
Then you don't get the
clever girl. I have to keep it out in the open, so I just remember to deal with it.
In the summertime, we often have to have just a bucket in the freezer, though, because otherwise it just
fruit fly. Fruit fly Fandango. Mm-hmm.
Basically. Or you get, like, one of those bins with the charcoal filter on top, and then you just have your little green bucket.
Oh, what are we, fancy?
Yeah. We didn't use one for a long time because we couldn't be fucking asked to clean it. So then we it just got so gross.
Sick.
Yeah, but now we're back to that.
I guess we have to try to be responsible people or we'll end up being ghosts.
I see the point of, like, you know, why should I do this individual thing if these larger things are really not being accounted for? But it's like, we could at least try to do the things that we do every day to, like, yeah, make one person's life easier, like, so that the garbage, like, the sanitation workers guys aren't, like, picking through your shitty
and just
garbage.
Like, if you practice that kind of awareness, then you'll make better decisions,
I guess. Yeah.
I'm so aware already.
What was that, the motto of the sociology department at UBC is painfully aware.
that's so
the
smart.
truest
absolutely
thing. It's like, I know too much about how things are and it sucks.
I wish I was a little bit dumber sometimes.
I wish I was a plumber.
I wish I had a brother named Luigi. We would, I don't know, something.
Watch each other pee.
Okay, that's good. Let's end on watch each other pee.
Okay. See you guys next week. Bye.